Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. All right, dude, this is episode 86 of Go Bayside. My guest today is Gareth Reynolds, who I tried to get to do this podcast like 5 times, who's too popular and busy, I think, is the reason, the official reason why I tried to get you to remember on the movie with Paul Tompkins like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I
think I was gone, right?
You were gone. Yeah. You were touring as you do now.
Yeah.
Parks, work and manage show business.
Yeah.
So I finally got you on this one. And the reason it's a clip show, I have to apologize, is because I did one episode by myself. There was only one episode where I had no guests, and it was because it was a clip show. And I was like, I don't want to make a person watch a clip show with me.
It was fantastic.
Now I got a guest to watch a clip show with me.
What a nightmare.
We watched The Best Summer of My Life. And basically, what's the plot? I mean, the plot is basically them reminiscing about the summer, right?
Yeah, through extremely like stilted, awkward segues where you're like, you didn't even try. They stopped trying eventually, I think.
Well, yeah, this is like their senior year, I think.
Yeah.
So this one opens up with Zach doing air guitar on a tennis racket. Yeah. Come on, Gareth, you were a teenage boy once.
Yeah.
You loved playing air guitar on tennis
racket. I'm not going to say that I didn't do it. I definitely did it. I just feel like mine was better. But no, yeah. So he's strumming away on the air guitar. And
yeah. And then immediately starts talking to the camera.
Yeah, and just like, and I did that too after I was done with my air guitar session.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Hey guys.
Hey.
Love that air. I'm a virtuoso at air guitar.
I called in a bomb threat to my school, so I got the day off. Yeah.
Dude, listen. Please believe that if 2023 Zach Morris was a teenager, he would absolutely be doing that kind of shit.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the stuff at Saved by the Bell, some of it is blatantly illegal where it's like, yeah, if you update it until now, he would like stage a school shooting to like be able to go on a water ski trip or something.
Yeah. No, sure, it's gotten darker. Guy. It's gotten darker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's in his room and he's like, his mom calls and he's like, all the exposition is in the phone call. He's like, you were right, mom. I needed to take the day off because like a party's too hard.
I'm not trying to throw any shade towards the writing of this episode, but very,
yes, please do that.
Well, very awkward how the mother, like she suggested he missed the first day of school because he was tired from summer.
Yes.
I just feel like you could do better than that. You could just be like, Zach, convince, Ferris Bueller it a little
bit. Yes. Which Zach would have done. Zach's faked sick like a million
Yeah.
times anyway.
He's the guy who called in the school shooting.
Yeah, yes. And it's also like, as if the mom would go, hey, you know what? You had a hard time partying all summer. You should definitely take a break.
Yeah.
Like, my mom would be like, I don't give a shit. Go to school.
Do you know how the fights my mother and I would have.
Yes.
I would need, blood would need to be present eventually for me to miss school.
You know that one time I broke the thermometer? And by the way, I never, all of my wanting to get out of school was because I never studied for a test.
Same.
Every time I faked sick, it was because a test was coming and I was like, I'm going to fail it. I have to get out of it.
Yeah, I never studied for a test.
So never. Just, me neither. No. I never did like one homework assignment in my entire school career.
It was a problem. Yes.
Yes. So when there was one time that I was faking sick and I knew my mom's thing was, unless you have a fever, I don't give a fuck. Like, or again, if, unless something's visibly broken or whatever, she's like, I don't give a shit. You're faking. Get out of here. And so one morning I took the thermometer. It was like that, one of the old timey thermometers that actually.
Yeah, mercury.
I put the blow dryer on it and like broke. I remember I must have been in like ninth grade or something. And I was just like, shit, I got to make it look like I'm a fever. So I put the hair dryer on it. And then tried to fake it. And like, I remember my mom kind of being like, yeah, you don't have 120 degree fever. Like, you'd be dead.
I'm very sick. Yeah. I'm very ill. I have unbelievable.
Rickets or whatever.
Exactly. It is bad. I died about 45 minutes ago, if you haven't noticed. I passed away. I can't go to school. I died this morning.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
My temperature is like inhuman levels. I can't.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I am lava lady.
Yeah. Yes. But I seriously did shit like at that level to try to get out of school. And even then, nice try.
I mean, it was a battle all the time. It was a battle. That's why I just am like, there's my first day of school. It takes a lot for me to come out as bad parent. That is bad parenting.
Bad parenting. It's bad parenting to just be like, yeah, dude, you just get a chill. And the fact that she's calling. She knows he's not sick.
Yeah.
She knows he's
like,
just.
Do you need Oreos? She's like, yeah.
Yes. Yes. When it's like her kid has a history of lying about absolutely everything. So, yeah. So, you know, he's like, I'm cool, mom. Thanks. Hangs up. And then he starts talking to the camera again and just generally being like, this summer was so great. Listen to all the memories I have from my job. And then they do like a whole flashback of strictly Zach molesting the female customers at this work.
Mm-hmm,
it's like a good 4 minutes of him hitting on every single customer or like outright.
It's a molestage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those.
As they're known in the biz.
As the biz. Yeah. The Morris molestage.
Yeah. So it's like him molesting all the customers. And then he explains how Lisa's mom got them all a job, which, sorry.
That's how it works. That's how it works. What are you flagging that? Why? That's how it
I
works.
I got all six of my friends a job at the same
time. Well, good news. I got a group hire. This guy is an idiot.
Yeah. Seriously, like, the idea that you would just be like, hey, will you hire six of my teenage friends to work at your thing?
And my daughter has five friends. They're all really quirky.
Yeah. Although I will say there was one summer, the summer after my senior year, me and my two friends, Brandy and Sarah, got a job at this answering service. And it was pretty rad because we would work, like nobody wanted to work the late shift. So we were the only ones working. It was, do you remember those pagers that scrolled like the full on words when you got a page?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
It was for that. It was an answering service where it was mainly those, but it was also like anytime in 1-800, it was like 1-800 doctor, 1-800 lawyer, whatever. Like we would answer for them. It was actually a pretty fun job, but me and my two friends got that job. And the best part was people would say the wildest shit to each other on those pagers. Like people would fully dump each other and stuff on the pagers. So they would call like it was, you know, whenever the phone would ring, just a script would come up and you'd say like, hi, this is doctor's office. Hi, this is lawyer's office. Or hi, this is Jeff's pager. Like it just brought up what you're supposed to say. So yeah, you didn't know until the phone rang. And so it would be like, hey, what's up? This is Jeff's pager. What would you like your message to read? And it would be people like, I know you fucking cheated on me. Fuck you. And I'd have to type that out and be like, okay, thank you.
Slow down. All right. Got all that. Have a good day.
Yes. Yes. So that we got
Like, well, that's the Saved by the Bell episode I want to see when they are all working as telemarketers.
Yeah, dude, it was fun because the nights we would each get, like, I'd get that, and then Sarah's phone would ring, and it would be the dude being like,
"Oh wow,
yeah, you tell her, no, fuck you."
You'd
bitch.
Be breaking up with each other, kind of.
Yeah, it was like a soap. Like, we're hearing in live, like, real time what's happening and like who's dumping who and like what happened. So we'd hang up and then yell across the room, like, "Hey, Jeff just said this about her. Oh, she just said this about him." Yeah, it was really fun.
I like that era just in general. Technologically, that to me is like, that was the right mix.
Yeah, it was like just enough.
Just enough.
Yeah,
because I think back to when you couldn't reach someone or be reached.
Yes.
And obviously that was crazy.
But think of the blit. Do you remember forgetting about people?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
How did plans have? Someone would be like, it just seems crazy that like a week prior, someone would be like, "Monday at 8. You'd be like, "Got it."
Yeah.
And that would happen.
Yeah. But it's like the idea, like, remember when you would break up with somebody and then forget they existed?
Yeah, it was great.
And not have to see every detail of their life at all times, even inadvertently on the internet. Like,
yes.
What
the pager. The pager was right.
Yes.
Because then you'd be like, "Oh yeah, when I find a payphone, I'll call you. What's up?"
Yes. Yeah. It was being just enough in touch. Okay, yeah. So they're like, "Hey, we got all of our friends a job." And then another flashback was when, you know, because Zach's like, "What?" Everything about Zach and Slater Summer is like, isn't it great that we like hit on 8 million girls? So another flashback is Zach multiple times asking out multiple girls at once. Like, there would now, be two or three girls.
When was the season where they showed all of the summer that they worked there? Because there was a season where we saw all of this.
Yeah. It was like the season before that is when it was the full,
okay. So this is like, this is just kind of
from that season.
Towards the later episodes of the
I mean, it's obviously they just needed a day off. They're like, we need a day off.
Right.
Kelly and Jesse are not going to show up for this one. They'll just be on the phone.
Right.
Yeah. It's so like lazy stopgap. Like, hey, we all just.
Okay. Yeah. So the predominantly it was about, they were, as I say, pork ragging.
Yeah.
What we call it in the business.
Yeah. Yes. But also it's like.
It's a pork boast.
Pork boast. I had one of those for dinner a couple weeks ago.
So good.
The thing with Zach asking out multiple, like, he walks up to two or three girls and is like, "Would any of you like to go on a date with me?" And they're like, "Wow, this is great," and not infuriating, or they're like, it's so.
No, it's strange because they kind of created the bubble where like he is famous in the show.
Yes.
It's strange because he's just a guy who works at like a country club.
Yes.
But every woman's completely charmed and disarmed by his presence.
But the idea that a woman would not be insulted, like if you just walked up to women and go, "So do one of you want to go on a date with me?" Like, they'd be like, both of them would go, "Fuck you. You're asking."
Well, there was a real time. There was a real era where the sitcom man could it was limitless as far as what the sitcom man could, you know what I mean? It was just everything was just like walking up to just like every woman was like, "Oh, cool. Yeah. I like sex with Willie Ames. Let's party." You know, like, it's just like, what is going on?
I mean, not only that, but it's like, again, sorry, if two women are sitting at a table, two strangers,
it's offensive. And,
like, would one of you want to go on a date with me? Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, fight with you? Like, they're going to go, which one should we do? Like,
if it even got there, they'd be like, "What? No, it's not how it works." Yeah. You don't just go like, "Hey, look, I got the net out. Who was in?"
Yes. You know, there was one time when I was in Amoeba and this guy hit on me. Hilariously, he was like minimum 20 years younger than me. Minimum. Like, it was this dude in raver gear. I was just like flipping CDs and he comes up and he was like, "Hey," I mean, it was so corny. He was just like, "Hey, girl, can I have your number?" And I was like, "You don't want my number." I go, I could be your mother. I genuinely could be your mother. He's like, "No, that's okay. Like, whatever." And there was something, I was like, never in a million years am I going to go on a date with this guy. But I wanted to give him something for that level of confidence. So I was like, "I'll give you my number." Like, even though in my head, I'm like,
"Right, we're going to go out."
However, so I gave him my number and he's like, cool, I'm gonna call you, like, whatever. I'm like, sure, dude. How about a week later? I swear to God, I have a screen grab of it. It was my number and like eight other numbers. And he texted, hey, sexy. Nine women at once. I'm not joking. And then all of a sudden,
he was trying to hide the group text, but accidentally,
yes, and it didn't work at all. And then all the women started responding. Like all of them started to be like, you know that you put nine numbers on this, right?
And yeah,
like,
yes. Like, yes. I'm looking. Let's go to Buca di Beppo. Let's get a booth. Awesome. I'm looking. Oh, God.
It was great. I took a screen grab because all the women were roasting him hilariously and just being like, you know, we can see this, right? You total idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that would have been Zach had he been able to text. All right. So yeah, he's constantly asking out ladies and then Screech comes over. So Screech walks into Zach's room while he's asleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Zach's parents are at work. So Screech broke into his home.
Sure.
During the
also,
day.
Also, left school too,
Left school in the middle of the day. Yeah. But then says, Belding sent me over here.
Oh, which is, what?
Which is like, just, sorry, the principal doesn't care.
How do you think this was written? I could write an episode like this. I would love to be timed. I bet in under, without the clips being organized, I could write it in 4 minutes.
Oh, I probably under. I mean,
I would hope under, but I also, you know, you got to open the computer. Type. There's like, there's some typing time. Yeah, exactly.
And they, so as if the principal of the school gives a shit, like he's keeping tabs on like every personal absence. He doesn't give
a shit. Other student, you leave because someone else is gone.
Yes. Go to this kid's house.
Yeah. And get him.
And get him. And
we don't have phones at Bayside.
Yes. And Screech either broke into his house or Zach's doors are just unlocked. Either way, did you ever have, like, the idea that I'd be asleep on my bed and would wake up and a friend of mine would just be in my room is fucking insane. Like, I would call the cops.
That to me is not as crazy. I could see that happening in my little Brown Deer, Wisconsin bubble. Could see that happening. Yeah. Yeah. I had a couple
just
friends.
Walk into your house and walk into your room.
I had a very interesting setup in my house where it was basically like, everybody could Kramer if they wanted to. It was like, I had friends break into my house and wake me up a couple times for a it was chaos. So, but I think you're right that that's probably abnormal, but
hold on. You can't just drop that and hold on.
Okay.
Under what circumstance? I need to know the setup of like, was your room upstairs or downstairs? Was it
upstairs?
Finding a tree situation to get in?
I was very adept at going out onto my roof to smoke cigarettes.
Sure.
And so it was pretty well known that you could get to my room easily.
Okay.
You could climb. I think we climbed a little tree, like a little pine tree, to get on the roof. I mean, we were walking on the roof like roofers. We were my roof. We
you
were
have
lighting
like a split level kind of thing where it's like part of the roof is on the level of your window kind of thing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was a more flat part, but it was. I honestly like even just kind of. I've never really thought about it, but I mean, we were on my roof so much. Smoking cigarettes, lighting fireworks, hanging out. I mean, just walking, like, you know, it was nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts. Were your parents home when your friends would break into your house or break into your room?
Well, there was a gap with talking to my father. So it was my mother and I against the world for a while.
Sure.
And in that time, all bets were off. And so, you could kind of, people would come and go. And I'd come home sometimes and people would be at my house. And I'd be like, why are you here? They'd be like, oh, I'm just going to...
Just friends of yours from high school.
Yeah.
You'd just be inside of your house.
Sometimes, that would happen. Yeah.
Okay, this is not... Okay, this backfired on me. These notes backfired
on me. You're not wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
This is so weird. And you're like, actually, it's pretty normal.
My bigger issue is that he left school and the way he woke him up comedically was so dumb. It was like, you should shout, are you awake? You should shout that at him to wake him up versus shake him to wake him up.
Yeah, I argue if you open your friend's the door to your friend's room in the house you're not supposed to be in and they're sleeping, you should probably just turn around and leave.
Yeah, that's true. Fair point.
Again, look, it's two against one. It's you and Zach against me as far as whether or not this is
finally the, yes, team, the way the team should be.
Yes, because
and now that we're backtracking, I don't mind approaching four women and going, who wants it? Which one of you is in? I don't find that to be strange.
I got space for y'all tonight. Yeah.
Who's in?
If I wake up and a friend of mine is tapping me on the shoulder, waking me up, and my parents are gone, and I'm like, you know, whatever, 16, I'm screaming. I'm calling. I'm going, what the fuck? Why are you in my house? How'd you get in my house? But apparently I'm the weirdo here. So yeah, skip over that. So yeah. But so they sit down and, you know, of course, like Zach's like, hey, I'm home because this summer was so rad. Remember how great it was. And then proceeds to reminisce. Here's the thing about Zach's reminiscing. He's like, Screech, remember the summer? And he starts reminiscing. He basically goes, Screech, remember all the times you were a giant idiot? Because those are the next memories.
Yeah.
So it's like him just telling his friend, like, I had a great summer, but do you remember how you were an idiot the entire
time? Remember how the volleyball hit you on the head? You were dumb. Nobody liked you. Remember that? Yeah.
Memories.
I'm just trying to get you back in school. Hold on. Let's think back to how dumb you are. God, you suck. You suck.
Yes. Let's go down memory lane where it's just constantly you fucking up the entire summer.
We remember how much we all dislike you.
Yes. Please remember it. Remember how everyone you met made fun of you this summer and everyone
nobody likes you.
Yes.
And also, this is coming on the heels of me watching like a Dustin Diamond, like, you know, behind the person episode on Vice.
No.
And so, yeah. So I'm also watching this now going, oh, God, this poor son of a
bitch. Wait a minute. What was that?
It was like they had a like, I don't even remember what it was, but it was like, it's like a Vice show where they like go in depth about Dustin Diamond and you're like, oh, this poor.
Is this recent?
Yeah, it's recent. Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. I was watching it. I don't know how, you know, when you're just like, all of a sudden you'll just be like, I'm going to watch the series of this stupid show. It was like that show.
Yeah.
With, and one of them was about Screech and, oh man, I was like, I mean, he sounds like an asshole, but it was also like, oh God. I mean, just, he was set up for failure because he's a lot younger than the others.
Yeah. Some of
actually,
our-
you know what? Why don't we take a look back at some of those worst memories of Screech in Milwaukee?
Roll the clips. Roll the montage, the memory lane of Screech being a total asshole.
Yeah.
It's sad. I mean, like, but it's one of those things where you go, you know, what can you do? It's like,
yeah, this is the system. Like,
anyway, I will say there was one solid joke in there, though, because that I will say is a solid joke because it's something I definitely would have said. So Slater comes over. Of course, another friend comes over in the middle of the day. Just straight up leave school.
Fine.
And he's like, Belding sent me over here, which is like, sorry, the principal sent two people to come get you. No,
he's a bad principal, April.
He sent two people to go to a student's house who called in sick anyway. It's not like he's a missing person.
You're highlighting some serious logic flaws. I don't have pushback.
So anyway, so he comes over. He's like, you know, Belding sent me over here because you're sick. And then I think that Zach says something about not being sick. I don't know. He gets close and then like Screech was like, hey, watch out. And then Zach was like, I'm not sick, but you could catch Screech's dorkitis.
Yeah. This is your solid joke?
Solid.
Okay.
That's you being diplomatic. I would say that.
Yeah.
I feel like I would say that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I stand by dorkitis.
Listen, we're coming from different worlds, so it's okay. Like, I think that works for you. I'm allowing Screech to break into my home. We have similar...
that's what I'm saying. It's like, Yeah. If you
I think it's nice that we're evaluating fairly. I think that's important.
Yeah. Look, I am nothing if not fair to these characters. Okay. And then same thing where they're like, you know, let's do a flashback. Again, it is Slater like hitting on a million ladies. And then I had forgotten that Denise Richards was in it and that she faced.
Was that her? Yes. I thought that was her, but I never saw a close up. Right. Okay.
Because she's in the like full episodes.
Right.
Of the summer job.
Oh, she's in a lot of them.
Yeah. Like she's basically Slater's like summer girlfriend.
Right. Okay.
But in this, Yeah, I'd forgotten that that's how she gets, because she starts giving him like secret admirer letters.
Mm-hmm. Right, there was an allusion to that, yeah.
So she fakes drowning?
Yeah, not like, very well either, from what we saw, because she was standing there.
Yeah, not very well, but it's like, what would you, that's another situation where I'm like, sorry, if somebody like fakes death and then is like, just kidding, let's go on a date.
I'm, like, I'm alive.
That's okay, I'll pass, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
I would like maybe.
Although
not.
I'm going to be honest, if I'm a lifeguard and I go in and Denise Richards, who's my age, is there and she's admitting it, I'd be like, hey, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm okay with this. True, I'd be like, are there any other of your friends underwater? Because I'd like to hit on a few more while we're out here. Are there any other faux drowners?
Yes, yes. Let's get them all in one fell swoop. So yeah, so that was Denise Richards. And then they have a flashback to the 4th of July,
right, aka
today. I can't believe they're not partying.
Shocking.
Because the way that Zach is reminiscing, and he's so wistful, and he's like, oh my God, 4th of July with Stacey Carosi. And I started to go, is the 4th of July a romantic holiday? Like, I've never once had a boyfriend or anything being like, 4th of July, honey, we've got to do something special. Like, they made it like it was a romantic holiday.
Well, I think, like, fireworks by the lake, like, I could see it a little bit. But, yeah, it's out of all of them, it's certainly not the one where you're like, that was the best.
Yeah, they made it.
It is like the holiday where my father explained sex to me at 6 or 7 years old.
Okay.
So
you have to say more about
so,
that.
Six
or seven?
Yeah, it,
it's
I,
very
I
early.
Maybe eight, max eight.
Okay.
I was making jokes at the lakefront while my parents and a bunch of other adults were watching the fireworks. And I don't even remember what I was doing, but another one of my friends was there and I just started making jokes about sex. And one of the kids' parents was like, what is sex? Like, just totally prompting me. And I was like, let's dance. And I said, it's when the guy puts his penis in the girl's butt and he pees.
Sure.
And that murdered. And so I was like, all right. I thought either I was right or I was funny or whatever. My dad took it as a very serious moment and like the moment he'd been waiting for. And he pulled me aside to what felt like 100 miles away, but it was probably 10 feet. And he started explaining what sex was and he walked me through it. And I was just like, no.
Fireworks are going off.
And the fireworks are going off. And he goes, it's a lot like fireworks. Became like a running joke for forever.
I would call Child Protective Services.
We tried. Their pager was all jammed.
If I was one of the adults at that party.
I just remember like seeing the adults being like, oh, that sucks for him. And I was like, like watching.
Were there other kids there?
Yeah, a few other kids. But my father was like, we're nipping this in the bud.
I'm upset. I'm upset by that.
So I always view it as a very romantic night. And it's always very important to me to take a special lady out near the lake and pee in her butt.
That's how you celebrate.
Crazy. That's how I celebrate. Actually, I think we have a clip of that. Can we take a look? Oh, I guess no.
Oh, God. Dude, if I was another adult at that party, I would have taken your dad's side.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, sorry, what are you doing?
All right, after that.
Have a talk.
Let me walk you through how to relate to children, Peter.
Yes. Ooh, wow. Well, yeah, that's much like 9/11.
You're welcome.
You'll never forget the 4th
You're
of
welcome.
July.
Yeah.
What did
July
you do
11th.
To celebrate? Do you call your dad?
I call my dad and I say, it is when a guy pees in the butt, right? And he goes, no, what? You still? I go, that's what I've been doing. And he goes, no. It's a magical, it's a lot like fireworks. And I go, slow it down, Pop.
Whoa.
I want to enjoy this.
Oh, God. Does your dad still live in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Does your dad, being a British dude, does he do 4th of July stuff?
It's nothing to do with British or American. My father, Christmas, my father doesn't do anything. He doesn't give a shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's very much like me and I don't know if it's genetic. Like, I'm like, I don't care. I almost like to avoid the big days more than anything.
Right.
I'm like, great, I'll get some stuff done.
Oh,
while
yeah.
Everyone
I totally
goes and eats macaroni salad.
Yeah, I lived in LA for 13 years. I did not go home for one single Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I was...
Yeah, like, I'll be gone for Thanksgiving this year. No problem. And my birthday's around there. I'll be gone. Like, I couldn't give a shit.
The best is staying... It's when you stay home in LA alone for Christmas, it's incredible because there's no traffic. I would go to the movie. No one's at the movie theater.
That whole season to be alone in LA is fantastic.
Yeah. So I never went back home. I never went to my parents' house.
It feels like 28 days later. You're like, wow, there used to be people here. Like fountains are going off and you're like, is this just for me?
Yes. So I totally get it. Okay. So he's like, remember the romance of 4th of July. And then 2 seconds after reminiscing about Stacy and their 4th of July romance, he's remembering Kelly. Then he's like, remember when I Frenched Kelly? And I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't you just have a different girlfriend like one memory ago?
Yeah.
But that's Zach. That's Zach for you. And then he's always, this was a thing that bothered me in the original episode so much, is that when they refer to Jesse's father's wedding and they only say that phrase like 15, they're like, hey, are you going to Jesse's father's wedding? Hey, will you be my date to Jesse's father's wedding? Hey, we got to go to Jesse's father's wedding. It's like, can't you just say Mr. Spano? Like, why? That was infuriating to me just because it's so stupid and it's such a tongue twister. But like, that was a huge part of this episode too, when they were just talking about like how amazing Jesse's father's wedding would be. And I was like, in high school, if I had to go to my friend's dad's wedding, what a pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass.
It would be such a chore. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm so stoked to go to an adult's wedding. It would be like the most boring thing ever.
Awful.
Yeah. And they are treating it like they're going to a fucking concert or something. And they're like, oh my God, who's going to be my date for Jesse's father's wedding? I'd be like, yeah, do you want to go? Please tell me.
That would be horrible. Horrible. Yeah. The bar mitzvah? Let's go. The wedding? No.
Jesse's father's wedding.
We're going to Jesse's father's bar mitzvah. I'd be like, that sounds good. He's a man.
Okay, so then they come back to real life with Slater and Zach sitting in his room. And this is when Zach reaches over to get a drink.
This is nuts. This is very problematic for me.
The cooler.
Very problematic for me. So lazy.
The cooler.
Okay, listen. The idea that he's got like a red igloo cooler in his room.
Yes.
How are we icing it?
Yes.
Is there no ice? Then why the fuck do we have it?
Yes.
This character would have a mini fridge.
Yes.
This show is in season 5. They could afford the... Yes. What the fuck? Did like the set dresser die?
Yes.
There is no excuse for why it... there was no ice in it.
Yes.
What's happening?
But it's also just the concept of...
Hey, you want a warm root beer?
Yeah. Yeah. How refreshing.
Hey, there you go.
I'm like drinking sandpaper.
Yeah.
For real. And it's like, who... Did you have a cooler in your room? Like, the act of even asking my parents, hey, can I have a cooler in my room?
Cooler is a very temporary fix.
Yes.
It's a beach thing. It's a it's a picnic.
It's a tailgate thing.
Yes, you do not. That is, you don't have a cooler in your room.
Yes, by your bed, next to your bed, a cooler. No.
And if someone threw you a drink, you wouldn't go, hey, dope. You'd be like, whoa, it's the long-term strategy here. This seems like really bad thinking.
Yes.
Who did this?
Yes. I would be like, you have a cooler in your room? Are you fucking Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Like, how rich are you?
Is there ice in it? In your room? The ice would be, I would be like, why? What's the point of an iceless cooler?
Then you can just put them in a drawer.
They come in cardboard.
Yes.
They're already contained items.
Yes. So yeah, he has a cooler, which I underlined, cooler in his room.
Good.
And then... Zach does the same thing to Slater, where he's like, hey, Slater, remember the summer? And then starts off his montage with like, hey, Slater, remember you were not so tough this summer? And then it's a whole memory lane thing of every time Slater fucking got his ass kicked or fell down or tripped or whatever, which again, it's like cool friendship where every memory Zach has, Zach's like, remember the summer when I just dominated everything? And then to his friends, he's like, remember the summer where you guys were total dipshits? And like,
remember how I fucked 5 girls and Screech, everyone hated you, and Slater, you fell a lot?
Yes. Yeah. What a great summer, friends.
It was awesome.
Yes. Also, do you think they were fucking in Saved by the Bell? This is a question that's been asked on many episodes, like whether or not, like, you know, Zach Kelly are actually fucking.
No, I don't think that. Maybe towards the very end they were fucking.
Yeah.
I think they paint the very wholesome version of love and
yeah.
You know. Yeah, they were not making fireworks. In my opinion. We should ask my dad.
Zach wasn't peeing in all their butts.
I mean, I don't know. It's a cool move, so I could see him doing it. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's why there's all that ice in the cooler near the bed. From all the butt peeing. Four holes.
From all the butt peeing.
Yeah, he's peeing a bunch of... He was doing a bunch of BPs. You know how it is. Got some squirts in the cooler. Fucking the moment gets you. Come on. Gotta go pee in the bee. Everyone likes it.
Everyone
wins. I think that's what I like about it. Everyone wins. Nobody loses in that one.
No one loses. People with the pee and the bee love it. They love
everyone. You get to pee, they get it in the bee. Come on. It's a win.
You should be a substitute sex ed teacher for a day at a high
school. Yeah. All right, quiet. Wrong. That's not how it goes. Semen, those are for the Marines. That's what the Marines are. Now, it's pee. There you go.
Okay, I need to collect my thoughts after the P and the B. Let's make merch with that on it.
No problem. Done.
Let's get someone to illustrate it.
I have a bunch of drawings already. I have thousands. Too many. My therapist has too many. But
in school, instead of drawing that S, like S thing, you're just drawing in the B.
Like, you do need to go home for the first day of school. That is graphic. That does not belong in a trapper keeper.
Sir, my father told me this is how it is.
That's what he was. That's what fireworks is. Dr. Horowitz, that's what fireworks look like.
Ask my father. He knows.
My dad. Okay.
Yeah, so he has all these memories. He's like, Slater, remember when you're a dipshit. Now, Lisa comes in.
Finally.
So we have a third student that the principal of the school has sent home to another student's house.
I feel like you find Mr. Belding's tactics to be puzzling.
Yeah, he seems to not be qualified.
It seems like to what Mr. School. Belding's doing, you're saying, wait, what is going on here?
You might be able to paraphrase it as such.
Interesting. Yeah.
So Lisa comes over. She's like, what's up? The principal sent me here. The principal told me to leave the school campus to come to your house to make sure you're really sick. Which, by the way, if he thought that he was lying, all he had to do is call his mom. Zach's own mom apparently would have gone, yeah, I told him to stay home. Anyway, yeah. So he sends another student. She comes over. Same kind of thing where she's like, remember the summer. But then Jesse and Kelly call on the phone, which at that moment I'm like, oh, okay, this is the episode where Jesse and Kelly are just like on vacation.
Yeah, so
they filmed the entire thing without them doing any like live.
It's a dream to film episode.
Yeah. Oh God. Of course. Yeah. Like all the other kids just have to be like in sweatpants in Zach's room, and then Jesse and Kelly don't even have to be there. It's just old. It's like the grip on the phone going, pretend I'm.
Yeah. Jealous. No, the crew was like definitely like making cocaine appointments for that evening.
Yes. Appointments.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you gotta keep aging. Classy. Absolutely. Tonight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Paging white.
Yeah. So they're not there at all. And then they say, like, Zach goes, what? What's that, Kelly? And Kelly says that Belding is not letting anyone else leave the school until Lisa and Slater come back.
He should be fired for the behavior of today.
Yeah, 100%. Not to mention the fact, can you imagine, if you will, you are back in high school and the principal announces, hello, student body, none of you are allowed to go home until these two students come back.
It would look like Paris right now.
Yes.
It would just be, he'd be like, whoops, that's a lot of dead teachers.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not legal. Pretty sure that's not legal.
Nope, can't do that. Can't you do can't that.
Just say, hey, you guys aren't allowed to leave.
No.
Yeah. So the idea of that happening is pretty great. I mean, and then they're just, of course, like Slater and Lisa are just sitting there going, I don't give a fuck. I'm sitting here. I'm not going to go back to school. Who gives a shit? So then one of the, because Kelly and Jesse are on the phone, then Lisa had to come in and go, oh yeah, the girls had a good time too. And then, so they have the flashback for the girls. And one of the first memories, like their good memory where they're like, remember summer, it was so great, was apparently the time they thought they were getting robbed.
Yeah.
Because all three of the girls are like, like somebody's knocking on the door and they have baseball bats and they're like, oh my God, we're getting robbed. And I'm like, sorry, that's one of your fondest memories of your summer.
Remember when we thought we were going to die at that sleepover?
Yes. Yeah. Wasn't it great? What a
that
great
was awesome.
Memory. Yeah. So then they go back to more Stacey Carosi memories, which is kind of funny to watch now as an adult, knowing that Leah Remini is like a hero.
There is that element that is very like you're like, out of all of you, Leah Remini is going to go on the wildest journey.
Dude, and because she's like, I legit think she's like a hero. Like,
Yeah.
All her Scientology shit is amazing. But then watching that, knowing in that clip, she's a Scientologist.
Oh, yeah. She's probably telling Mario Lopez. She's like, you got a bunch of Thetans in your stomach. But whatever, we can talk about it after lunch.
Yes. Like, that was crazy to watch that. And then, like, know today that she's like the biggest crusader against Scientology, which is crazy.
Which now is airing commercials in the United States like nothing happened, by the way.
Wait, commercials for Scientology?
Yes.
Hold on. Like, for Dianetics or for Scientology?
David Miscavige himself, like, pitching science. No. I know you've heard a bunch of BS, but come on down. Figure out what Scientology is actually about.
No. And it's him talking? Like, it's actually
yes. Yes. This country, the idea that I could sit in this country and see a Scientology commercial followed by a commercial for SeaWorld and nobody's losing their mind is where I'm like, I don't belong here.
Yes, that's, and it's like 2 seconds of Googling tells you, that's what I'm so fascinated about. They're like trying to recruit people because it's like, let's say you've literally never heard the word Scientology. Type it into your
brain. Right.
Everything that comes
up. Yeah, like, be like, I met a football player named O.J. Simpson earlier. Let me just give a quick little Google about this guy. Whoa.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I can't believe that it even could still exist. Well, again, whatever. This is like
it's
a whole
nuts.
It doesn't really exist because all their money is in real estate. It's like, you know how they say they have like however many millions of members and it's really only like 100,000 or something. Like, obviously they exaggerate their numbers, but the fact that that guy could even get like airtime.
He's on TV. We don't know where his wife is and he's on TV.
Yeah, she's like a literal missing person.
Yes.
And he can be on, like, that's
it's nuts. Yeah.
Welcome. I'm going to have to, when we're done, I'm going to have to look up one of those commercials because I want to see
welcome.
It.
You're welcome. It's exciting.
And what is it just like, come on down and check us out for yourself?
Don't believe the hype. Come on down. Yeah. Check out Scientology. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to look those up when we're done. So then, Leah Remini, who is Zach's like summer girlfriend, right? At the end, they show his boss, which was her dad, and they're like hugging. Like, Zach is like, thanks, man, and hugs his boss, which is not a thing I've ever done at any job that I've ever had.
No. Maybe the kid's birthday party boss. Maybe we hugged. But yeah, for the most part, no.
Never hugged a boss. And then, because that's Stacy's dad, he then shakes his hand like, enjoy my daughter. Like, it's a very fucked up, like,
joy.
And then he walks off like,
go pee in the bee. Wink, wink.
Enjoy peeing in my
go make a little pee in the bee. Gink, gink.
Yes, that's like basically what he does. It's have fun with her and
good luck.
Yeah.
She's yours if you give me the cattle, boy.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't remember. I mean, in any job, especially summer jobs that I had as a teenager, never was I hugging my boss at all.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What kind of summer jobs did you have when you were in high school? Didn't you start doing comedy when you were like fucking 14 or something?
Yeah, I started doing improv really young. And so, my main first job was working at a improv comedy club, like hosting and then performing. And I was a ballet parker where I wore a tutu and I would direct cars around the parking lot. So hold that on. Was like my hold first on. Job. Go ahead. Yeah.
Hold on.
When in the back. Yeah.
When was that?
That one, I must have been 16 because I was still going. I could drive there. So it must have been like right when I turned 16.
Oh, so at the comedy club, the gimmick was to have you be a ballet Parker.
Yeah. And then after I did that, I started hosting. Like I would come up with a character. It was like, it was the best. Like for me, I was like, this is the greatest job ever. And then I started performing a little, and then I did like a lot of like improv. So that was kind of, but then I also had other jobs. Like I worked in a junk mail factory, like running a, basically running machines that put together junk mail.
That sounds awesome. Summer.
It was horrendous.
That sounds, I legitimately wanted to work at the post office. I applied to work at the post. I'm obsessed with like mail, and I did zines and everything in high school.
You might like it. It was horrible.
I could never get a job at the post office.
Well, you had to run a machine. So it wasn't like I was like manually putting together each one. Like you had to like run a machine with like six slots.
Right.
And you just have all the little things, and you'd have to put the things in right order and never let the machine run out of whatever one slip was, because then the machine would stop. So
it
was crazy. A lot of people who were like, you know, it was a job in their like halfway house job, and
right,
it was crazy. But yeah, that was the summer.
How old were you at that job?
I think that was either after my freshman year or before my freshman year of college. So I think it was one of the two. But yeah, like when I was in high school, you know, I mean, it was like low, like I wasn't that bothered about money because I had like, you know, I had a house and food and stuff. And so, and then I had my job, yeah, working at Comedy Sports. And I don't remember how many days a week I ended up doing that, but I was there a good amount. I mean, I loved
it. My parents made me. Like when I turned 15, my parents were like, if you ever want to borrow the car, you have to have a job. So I didn't have a choice.
I think partially because my parents' marriage was so fucked up, like I got away with a little bit more. And so I don't know. It's so strange that I'm not sure, but I think at 16 was when I started working. Then I painted houses, which I ended up doing a shitload of that when I got older. But for a summer I painted houses. But I was always kind of working at Comedy Sports, and then yeah, the junk mail factory job.
I worked at Domino's for a summer and just pizza home every single night.
Yeah, that would be great.
It was just free pizza nonstop.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun because I worked with my friend Jeremy, and like it was the two of us, you know, I answered the phones, he delivered, but then
that sounds great.
It was,
yeah, I think like when we were in high school, it was like, you know, you could kind of fuck around a little bit more. It's like, I mean, now there's articles now in this country about how kids are working in meatpacking plants.
Yes.
Like 15.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It's like straight up depression shit.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Like I needed a job because I wanted to borrow the car and stuff. So it wasn't like I needed it because I was, like you said, I mean, obviously I lived at my parents' house and had
my brother's hand-me-down car, and it was fucked.
Right.
But I still had it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
it fell apart pretty
I got
quickly.
My mom's like Honda Accord, but I mean, my parents are like really strict Republican. They were super like, you need to know the value of a dollar. You need to know, you have to work for this and this and this. So it's like, I had to have a job like the minute I turned 15, which like, that's all fine. And it was good to have spending money, but yeah, it wasn't like serious. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think that Comedy Sports was my first real job, and I had to have been able to drive to it.
Was there one in Milwaukee?
Yeah, oh yeah, the first one's in Milwaukee.
I thought it started in Chicago.
No, the first one was in Milwaukee. Dick Chet, first one in Milwaukee. That was it. It was the best.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was lucky. That was a lucky first job.
Well, look where it got you now. All the way to the top of the podcast heap on my Saved by the Bell podcast.
I'm here. I did it. Talking about my firework memories, I'm lucky.
Mountaintop, you have reached the apex.
I got saved by the bell.
See, you did it. And this, I think, is going to be like the final episode.
Really? This is it?
Because, let me reiterate one more time, because everybody always wants me to do the college years. I did two practice episodes. I tried it with Millie. We did two trial runs of the first two episodes of the college years. And I got to tell you, it's boring podcasting because in college, you're an adult. So if they do crazy shit, they're adults. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not as funny as Saved by the Bell because it's not as absurd. And things like, you know, if you hang out with a professor in college, that's fine. It's not illegal because you're both adults. Whereas if you're a 15-year-old and you hang out with your principal, that's fucking crazy. Yeah. And it's illegal. And, you know, it's a crazy thing. And so, yeah, so, I'm not
going to do college. If this is an honor.
I mean, it could only be you. I waited all this time.
I don't know what to say. I should have done better.
I have to say that maybe top five contribution to the Go Bayside canon is P and the B. If we're going to get serious.
Means a lot. Yeah. It means a lot.
So I think that you made up for it in this.
That means a lot. I've never known what my legacy would be, but let's go.
Look, it's going on your tombstone.
Let's go.
That's it.
P and the B.
P and the B. Here lies Garrett Reynolds.
Some just chiseled fireworks on it. The hell is this guy? First of all, this is a weird tombstone. He died young. Right after the podcast.
And it's going to be a bust of you, like waist up.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Make sure
that's that better than waist down. That's the weird one.
Actually, I guess in honor of P and the B, maybe it should only
be waist down bust, but not enough of those. Yeah. Not enough waist down busts. Is that him? It's hard to tell. I mean, it's just a pair of jeans. Yeah. It's really weird. Why is the fly kind of open? Ugh. Come on.
Make it easier for access to P and the B.
Come on. I'm not going to explain P and the B when we're at your grandma's funeral. Keep moving.
How do we end this?
I guess should we take a look back at the beginning of the episode?
Let's do it. Roll the clip.
Yeah, let's go back. We were kids.
I'm good at stopping now.
Beep, 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 beep,